infinite complacence, people went to and fro over the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space. Yet across an immense ethereal gulf, minds that are to our minds as ours are to the beasts in the jungle, intellects vast, cool, and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes. Slowly and surely drew their plans against us. In the 39th year of the 20th century came the Great Disillusion. Near the end of October, business was better. The war scare was over. More men were back at work. Sales were picking up. And this particular evening, October 30th, the Crosby Service estimated that 32 million people were listening in on radio.
Observatory at Princeton confirms Farrell's observation and describes the phenomenon as, quote, like a jet of blue flame. We now return you to the music of Ramon Rockello, playing for you in the Meridian Room of the Park Plaza Hotel, situated in downtown New York.
Tune that never loses favor. The ever popular Stardust, Raymond Rockello and the Tortoise.
The large observatories of the country to keep an astronomical watch on any further disturbances occurring on the planet Mars. We return you until then to the music of Ramon Rocchello and his orchestra. We are ready now to take you to the Princeton Observatory at Princeton, where Carl Phillips, our commentator, will interview Professor Richard Pearson, famous astronomer. We take you now to Princeton, New Jersey.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Lion are saying, I told you so. These men went to jail in this country under our Constitution for criticism. Bache was in New Media. Lyon was a congressman from the party that was not in power. They were guilty of criticizing the president and other media which defended the president. Mr. Bache and Congressman Lyon would remind us that we have previously completely and nearly fatally screwed up how to handle resistance. And they would remind us that the right to resist has been destroyed, and the country nearly destroyed with it, by better men than Donald John Trump. The man behind the jailing of Bache and Lyon and 20 or so other publishers, politicians, and citizens, one of whom for making a joke in public, the man Bache and Lyon opposed was President John Adams. That John Adams, founding father John Adams. Even a man of the vision of John Adams could not see that demonizing dissent and criminalizing resistance could by themselves end democracy.
This sound you hear is the vibration of the clockwork. Professor Pearson stands directly above me on a small platform, series with a giant heavens. That the person may be interrupted by telephone or other communication.
When we measured kilograms, he said, wait, as common usage.
Professor, may I begin our questions?
Any time, Mr. Foote.
Professor, would you please tell our radio audience exactly what you see as you observe the planet Mars through your telescope?
Nothing unusual at the moment, Mr. Foote. A red disk swimming in a blue sea. Transverse stripes across the disk.
Listen, you fuckers, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. Who would not let... Listen, you fuckers, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the cunts, the dogs, the filth, the shit.
This
Oh, quite distinct now, because Mars has to be at the point nearest the Earth in opposition.
In your opinion, what do these transverse stripes signify, President?
Not canals, I can assure you, Mr. Phillips. Although that's the popular conjecture of those who imagine Mars to be inhabited. From a scientific viewpoint, the stripes are merely the result of atmospheric conditions peculiar to the planet.
Then you're quite convinced, as a scientist, that living intelligence as we know it does not exist on Mars?
There's a chance against it are 1,000 to 1.
And yet, how do you account for these gas eruptions occurring on the surface of the planet at regular intervals?
Well, I cannot account for
them. By the way, President, for the benefit of our listeners, how far is Mars from the Earth?
Approximately 40 million miles.
Well, that seems a safe enough distance. Just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Someone has just handed Professor Pearson a message. While he reads it, let me remind you that we are speaking to you from the observatory in Princeton, New Jersey, where we are interviewing the world. Pearson has passed me a message which he has just received. Professor, may I read the message to the listening audience?
Certainly.
Ladies and gentlemen, I shall read you a wire addressed to Professor Pearson from Dr. Gray of the Natural History Museum in New York. Quote, 9:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Seismograph registered shock of almost earthquake intensity occurring within a radius of 20 miles of Princeton. Please investigate. Signed, Lloyd Gray, Chief of Astronomical Division.
This is the end.
But this occurrence possibly has something to do with the disturbances observed on the planet Mars?
Hardly, Mr. Phillips. This is probably a meteorite of unusual size, and its arrival at this particular time is merely a coincidence.
Pick up Colonel Kurtz's path at New Mungba. Can you find the colonel, infiltrate his team by whatever means available, and terminate the colonel's command?
Terminate is extreme prejudice.
Businesses, there are bound to be conflicts of interest. For instance, last week, about 100 foreign diplomats from Brazil to Turkey gathered at the Trump International Hotel in Washington, D.C. to sip Trump-branded champagne, dine on sliders, and hear a sales pitch about the U.S. President-elect's newest hotel. Well, of course, Trump hotels serve sliders. I mean, those mini burgers make tiny hands look huge.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the past 10 minutes, we've been speaking to you from the Observatory of Princeton, bringing you a special interview with Professor Pearson, noted astronomer. This is Carl Phillips speaking. We are returning you now to our New York studio. Ladies and gentlemen, here is the latest bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News, Toronto, Canada. Professor Morris of Macmillan University reports observing a total of 3 explosions on the planet Mars between the hours of 7:45 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Oh, the rising sun!
And earlier reports received from American Earth Probe.
Scares the hell out of the Stokes! My boys love it!
At 8:50 p.m., a huge flaming object, believed to be a meteorite, fell on a farm in the neighborhood of Grover's Mill, New Jersey, 22 miles from Trenton. The flash in the sky was visible within a radius of several hundred miles, and the noise of the impact was heard far north in the middle. It dispatched a special mobile unit to the scene. We'll have our commentator, Carl Phillips, do a word picture of the scene as soon as he reaches there for quick time. Meanwhile, he takes you to the Hotel Martinet in Brooklyn, where Bobby Millett and his orchestra are offering a program for that.
WCOM FM, LPFM, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. I'm furious here in this Trumpocalyptic era. We are blasting in here into the apocalypse now. We spotlighted the Trumpocalypse countdown starting way back last year in the 15. Counted down. So now here we are. For scary times. But you know what? If there were any place I'd want to be during the Trumpocalypse, not too bad right here, my friends. WCOM LP, Chapel Hill Community Base, Micropower Gorilla, Revolutionary Radio. I'm furious. I'm gonna do what we do as we have been doing. Seem to be in a place where the stakes are a little higher. That's all right. It's like Kakalaki's gonna kick out Rat McCrorny. Maybe also keep the cool, amazing Chatham Orange Wake Coalition, Durham Coalition, as well as local stuff. So if you're interested in supporting all kinds of community-based stuff, whether it's politics or radio, art, food, outdoors, fun. Keep doing what you're doing. Thank you. Furious!
Bigfoot. little arms.
The stains upon the Adams legacy were called the Alien and Sedition Acts, and they threatened jail for anyone daring to, quote, write, print, utter, or publish any false, scandalous, and malicious writing against the government. And 59 days before his inauguration, Trump and his mob are already clearly laying the groundwork for new criminalization of your right to publicly criticize that which will begin on day one as the worst presidential administration in our history. Much has been made of the distraction Trump provided by tweeting petulantly about how the cast of Hamilton addressed the vice president-elect when he attended their performance last Friday. Criticism of the coverage paid is valid. The fighter pilots call this chaff, spraying strips of metal into the air to screw up radar. We spent a day talking about moron Trump's moronic tweets instead of his confession and everything but name to fraud accusations in the Trump University lawsuit. We spent another day talking about Hamilton and Pence instead of about Trump totally mixing the presidency with his businesses. We spent another day talking about disrespect and respect instead of yesterday's gaffe from Trump's voter repression expert, in which he walked into a meeting with Trump carrying a document easily readable in the photographs, laying out details of registries, religious tests for people entering this country, and defense against lawsuits. We spent several entire news cycles talking about actors and rap, and not about the anti-Semites, the racists, the fascists Trump is appointing to his White House, the Bannons and Giulianis and Sessions and their ilk. So scummy it led the great John Cleese to conclude that it looks as if Trump, quote, is assembling the crew for a pirate ship. A distraction? Yes. But that does not mean his seeming disbelief at the evidence that he is hated is not real and not important. Bluntly, if he or Pence cannot handle booing, they should get new jobs in a new country, because whether they hear it or not, they will be booed every day for the rest of their lives. And more importantly, that also does not mean Trump is not intending to create a 21st century version of the Alien and Sedition Acts of John Adams. A president, elected by a minority of the voters, has again made threats against those who criticize him or his administration to be, has again made threats against the First Amendment. Taken out of the context of the anti-democratic, anti-criticism snowball already beginning its descent in this country, the takeaways from his tweets, "This should not happen," and "Apologize," would seem merely like more petulance from the man-baby-elect, and the complaint about lack of respect merely more amazing self-unawareness from President Pussycrab. But those tweets did not come in a vacuum. Before the election, Trump threatened to loosen up libel laws, singled out reporters by name to encourage abuse from the crowds at his rallies, promised to sue the New York Times, and an advisor criticized a TV host and tweeted, "Watch what happens to her after this election is over." The day after it was over, a contestant from one of his TV shows said of those who did not vote for him, quote, "Mr. Trump has a long memory, and we're keeping a list." Responding to criticism from Senate Minority Leader Reid, Trump's campaign manager Kellyanne Conway said he, quote, should be very careful about characterizing somebody in a legal sense. In a legal sense. 9 days after the election, a federal judge in San Antonio, swearing in hundreds of new American citizens, told them that Donald Trump, quote, will be your president, and if you do not like that, you need to go to another country. He then also lashed out against pro athletes who have not stood for the national anthem, then reportedly claimed his remarks were not political. If you would like to resist by trying to get this judge ousted, his name is John Primomo, and he can be removed by the U.S. District Court.
But it ain't no thing.
you now to Grover's Mill, New Jersey.
Gentlemen, this is Carl Phillips again, out at the Wilmot Farm, Grover's Mill, New Jersey. Dr. Kirsten and myself made the 11 miles from Princeton in 10 minutes. Well, I hardly know where to begin. To paint for you a word picture of a strange scene before my eyes, but nothing out of a modern Arabian night. Well, I just got here. I haven't had a chance to look around yet. I guess that's it. Yes, I guess that's the thing directly in front of me.
Requires blaming the victim. Campaign manager Conway said dissent, anger, resistance, your resistance is the fault of the media. Most of the media did the world a disservice, she said, by not preparing them for the possibility of Donald Trump winning the presidency. It simply was not part of the conversation. So fascism isn't the problem. American media's reluctance to soften up the public to accept fascism, that's the problem. Brings us back to the Alien and Sedition Acts and a state senator in Washington named Doug Erickson, a loud Trump sycophant, another one of the banana Republicans, whom our friends, publisher Benjamin Franklin Bache and Congressman Matthew Lyon, would recognize immediately. I respect the right to protest, he said, but when it endangers people's lives and property, it goes too far. Fear, intimidation, and vandalism are not a legitimate form of political expression. Those who employ it must be called to account. Senator Erickson says he will propose a bill next year that would criminalize what he calls violent protesting.
Huge cylinder has a diameter of, what would you say, Professor Pearson?
What's that?
What would you say, what's the diameter of this?
About 30 yards.
About 30 yards. The metal on the sheath is, well, I've never seen anything like it. The color is sort of yellowish-white. It's curious. Spectators now are pressing close to the object in spite of the efforts of the police to keep them back. Getting in front of my line of vision. Would you mind standing one side, please, while the police are pushing the crowd back? Here's Mr. Wilmot, owner of the barn here. He may have some interesting facts to add. Mr. Wilmot, would you please tell the radio audience as much as you remember of this rather unusual visitor that dropped in your backyard? Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. Wilmot.
Live assisting to the radio.
Closer and louder, please.
Pardon me?
Louder, please, closer.
Yes. I was listening to the radio.
I'm scared of that turkey.
Kind of drowsy.
Professor Butler was talking about Mars, so I was half dozing.
Yes, Mr. Wilmot, and then what happened?
Well, as I was saying, I was listening to the radio, kind of halfway.
Yes, Mr. Wilmot, and then you saw something.
Well, not first off. I heard something.
And what did you hear?
A hissing sound like this.
One diplomat said, "Why wouldn't I stay at his hotel blocks from the White House so I can tell the new president, I love your new hotel? Isn't it rude to come to his city and say, I am staying at your competitor?" I mean, yes, obviously, it would be rude for a foreign diplomat to meet President Trump and not stay at a Trump hotel. Same way it would be rude to come to America to meet President Kennedy and not fly into JFK. Last week, Trump also met with some of his Indian business partners who are building a Trump-branded luxury apartment complex south of Mumbai. Sitting here on Twitter giving Trump the thumbs up and Netflix the middle finger. Of course, now that he is going to be the president, business cannot occupy all of Donald Trump's attention. He's got to save that for Twitter. Like his recent tweets about Saturday Night Live.
I watched parts of at NBC SNL's Saturday Night Live last night. It was totally one-sided, biased show. Nothing funny at all. Equal time for us.
Equal time for us? Equal time. I don't understand. What does that mean? Equal time for us. That's not how it works, buddy. You're going to be the president. That's the guy who gets made fun of. If you want to be somebody everybody loves, you should have run for Ice Cream Man, and it's a perfect job for someone who can dish it out but can't take it.
Bitch, I get my dad. You saw that one.
On Monday, Trump popped over to the YouTubes to address the nation.
Today, I would like to provide the American people with an update on the White House transition and our policy plans for the first 100 days. In regulation, I will formulate a rule that says that for every one new regulation, two old regulations must be eliminated.
That's right. For every new rule, we lose two old ones. Okay, so we just set new standards on carbon emissions, so arson and murder are legal now. Enjoy!
Well, now, tell me a little about yourself.
Well, you know, I'd be from Jamaica, man.
A lot of mercy.
What part of Jamaica?
Right near the beach. Boy! I think you're bullshitting me. Thompson Simpson, I stick by my story. I'm from Jamaica. Boy! I think you're bullshitting me.
If I was a Jamaican, then why would I wear this hat?
Feel safe in disrupting middle-class jobs.
The wealthy donors to whom Senator Erickson refers will also be liable for any economic loss caused by the assemblies, supposedly protected by the First Amendment, or as Erickson wants to now call those assemblies, economic terrorism. So, Trump's Twitter tantrum about how Pence was treated in a play about a vice president so incapable of handling criticism.
Mr. Stiles.
Yes, me?
How is it you always have something funny to say?
Because I'm a comedian.
Would you like to come up and teach a class?
Yeah, I can.
Very well, come on up. Instruct us.
Of course, the presidency wasn't the only thing people voted on a couple weeks back. There were also a lot of state ballot initiatives. Fun fact, a few of them weren't about legalizing pot. Now, there's a weird one in Colorado they voted on. The state's constitution had some old language in it that still allowed slavery as a punishment for crime. The ballot initiative would abolish that kind of slavery. And on November 8th, it lost.
Take him away, and I hope that isn't true.
Could we talk to Colonel Kurtz?
You don't talk to the Colonel. Well, you listen to him.
Are you an assassin? I'm a soldier. You're an errand boy. I'm trying to face your troubles. Let go.
I was asleep and dreaming.
Yes?
I seen a kind of greenish streak and then zingo. Something smacked the ground, knocked me clear out of my chair.
Well, were you frightened, Mr. Wilmot?
Well, I ain't quite sure. I reckon I was kind of riled.
Well, thank you, Mr. Wilmot. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you want me to
tell
you?
No, that's quite all right. That's plenty. Ladies and gentlemen, you've just heard Mr. Wilmot, owner of the farm where this thing has fallen. I wish I could convey the atmosphere, the background of this fantastic scene. Hundreds of cars are parked in a field in back of us, and the police are trying to rope off the roadway leading into the farm, but it's no use. They're breaking right through. Car's headlights throw an enormous spotlight on the pit where the objects have buried. Now, some of the more daring souls now are venturing near the edge.
Struck in the face and needed medical attention on the scene.
stampede on the senior citizens. In 2005, hundreds of people pummeled through doors in complete mob mentality zone, without any care or remorse for those being trampled or wrecked. That's what happened to the senior citizens.
No great depression.
Crazy Walmart block started fighting the scene. Police had to be called in on the scene to break the fight over a discounted flat screen television at an unidentified Walmart. The sight is unbelievable as a woman still tries to hold the box TV all the while being thrown to the floor and restrained by two cops.
About the presidential election, you can be depressed about this instead. Now, here's the deal. There was no organized effort in Colorado to keep slavery, so why is it still there? Well, some people are saying it's because the question on the ballot was confusing. It said, shall there be an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning the removal of the exemption to the prohibition of slavery and voluntary servitude when used as a punishment for persons duly convicted of a crime? My final answer, what is Lincoln, Nebraska?
Tell us the meaning of that scraping noise inside the thing.
Possibly the unequal cooling of its surface.
I say, do you still think it's a meteor, Professor?
What? Metal casing is definitely extraterrestrial. Not found on this Earth. Friction with the Earth's atmosphere usually tears holes in a meteorite. This thing is smooth. See if Linda.
Just a minute. Something's happening. Ladies and gentlemen, this is terrific. This end of the thing is beginning to break off. The top is beginning to rotate like a screw, and this thing must be hollow. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the most terrifying thing I've ever witnessed. Wait a minute. Someone's calling someone or something. I keep staring out of that black hole.
Of a man who had moved the bar between right and wrong self.
Islamophobic services and are adding new cities and towns every day. Whether it's in an airplane or in town, Islamophobic air is taking off.
You are now free to be removed from the cabin.
Two luminous discs. The eyes, might be a face, might be almost a heaven. Hey, I can see the thing's body now. It's large. Large as a bear.
I love Thanksgiving 75% of the time. But this is the 25% that's going to suck. But can we get through this? I believe we can. As long as we remember that blood is thicker than water and that blood doesn't come out of the linen tablecloth, so put the knife down. So this year, you have a family duty to treat your political opinion just like grandma's Jell-O mold. Choke it down and keep it down until the guests leave. And you know what? I'm going... Good old grandma. Good old grandma. And I'm going to help you tonight. This is The Late Show's post-election Thanksgiving survival tips. Brought to you, as always, by cranberry sauce out of the can. Cranberry sauce, the jiggling means we made it with hoof. These are just a few guaranteed ways to calm everybody down this Thanksgiving. Ready? Tip number one. The tryptophan in turkey has a naturally calming effect, so remember to eat a lot of it while driving to dinner. Tip two, change up recipes. This year, instead of ground nutmeg on the pumpkin pie, how about a little shaved Xanax? Tip three, just because dinner's not ready yet doesn't mean you shouldn't be eating. Remember, an idle jaw is the devil's playpen. Tip four, cook a second turkey, not to carve, for everyone to stab. Tip five, the traditional touch football game is a great way to get out aggression without ruining dinner. So this year, make it tackle to the death.
Waiting outside turned into a chaotic mob. We can hear a man yelling bloody murder for help. Once he escapes the entrapment of the stampede, we can see the amount of pain he had to endure beneath the soles of everyone's shoes. The Del Amo Fashion Center balloon disaster. In 2006, the Del Amo Fashion Center in Torrance dropped 500 gift certificate balloons down to the ground floor towards the unexpected 2,000 savage people. As you can imagine, the 1 in 4 chance of actually catching a balloon caused a wave of injuries, resulting in a senior citizen being treated for critical injuries in the hospital. Pregnant woman knocked to the floor. In 2005, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, a pregnant woman was knocked to the floor by a mad dash of people at 5 a.m. at Walmart. We'll be right back.
shoes, black leather, but that face. Ladies and gentlemen, it's indescribable. I can hardly force myself to keep looking at it. So awful. Its eyes are black and it's green like a serpent. The mouth is a kind of V shape with saliva dripping from its rimless lips. It seems to quiver and pulsate, and the monster or whatever it is can hardly move. It seems weighed down by possibly gravity or something. The thing's rising up now, and the cloud falls back. And it's funny that, of course, it's my experience, ladies and gentlemen. I can't find words. And, well, I'll pull this microphone with me as I talk. I'll have to stop the description until I can take a new position. Hold on, will you please? I'll be right back in a minute.
We are bringing you an eyewitness account of what's happening on the Wilmoth Farm, Groversville, New Jersey.
You'll be married. Find the princess. She's going to be grateful. She's going to give me a kiss. And the next thing you know, you're going to get laid tonight, all right? So let's do this.
We now return you to Carl Phillips at Groversville.
Marking the genocide against their communities and the theft of their land. We'll spend today looking at the standoff at Standing Rock in North Dakota. The struggle against the $3.8 billion Dakota Access Pipeline that's galvanized the largest resistance movement of Native Americans in decades. In Cannonball, North Dakota, members of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and representatives of more than 200 indigenous nations from across the Americas have been encamped for months to block the construction of the pipeline. It's slated to carry 500,000 barrels of crude a day from the Bakken oil fields of North Dakota through South Dakota, Iowa, and into Illinois, where it'll link up with an existing pipeline to carry the oil down to the refineries in the Gulf. The thousands of water protectors, as they call themselves, have been joined by many non-Native allies, all concerned a leak could contaminate the Missouri River, which provides water for the tribe and millions of people downstream. The tribe also says the pipeline's construction across unceded Sioux treaty land will lead to the desecration of sacred sites, including tribal burial grounds. In recent months, hundreds have been arrested after using their bodies to block construction of the pipeline and to protect the sacred sites. The movement has also spread across the country and the world as protesters have held demonstrations at banks funding the Dakota Access Pipeline. The movement has largely been ignored on this year's presidential campaign trail and by the national corporate media. But Democracy Now! Has been there on the ground covering the standoff closely. Today, we're bringing you highlights of that coverage in North Dakota. We begin with our report. Labor Day weekend, it was Saturday, September 3rd, when unlicensed Dakota Access security guards attacked water protectors trying to defend a sacred tribal burial site from destruction.
Criminals! You guys are criminals! Go get your money somewhere else!
We're standing at the construction site of the Dakota Access Pipeline. It looks like there are at least three bulldozers that are, to people's surprise at this moment, actually bulldozing the land.
WCOM-FM, LPFM, Chapel Hill, Carborough, Furious. And here with DJ Eddie Abbey. And we're rocking out, blasting some beats, getting rid of the crazy evil spirits out there through our sonic boom. And other fun ways of letting loose out of it. More importantly, Spanksgiving, Thanksgiving. We have been also, and will continue to address the fight against the Dakota Access Pipeline, standing up with the folks at Standing Rock, and also other furious movements around and about, including here locally, hopefully, movement toward the governor, Rat McCrory. Getting out of office because he lost. So we'll see what happens there. I'm Dr. Furious. We do this every Thursday as part of the Furious George Show. If you want to learn more about it, go to furiousg.blogspot.com. And, of course, if you want to learn more about the station, become a supporter or a volunteer, go to www.wcomfm.org. You can check us out. Lots of other fun stuff to do. Thanks for listening to My Pop Radio. I'm Furious.